Lord and to look into his word, be instructed from it and inspired and blessed. And we're glad for everyone here. Also glad for Brother Keith Kreider and his wife who've come as guests, I think, to the Duncans. And so we kind of get to share in that blessing as well. Brother Keith will be bringing the message here this morning, and we look forward to that. Appreciate their presence here. For an opening meditation, I would like to just share a few thoughts on spiritual warfare. And so our mind goes there to Ephesians chapter 6, a scripture that speaks about that subject. And the Bible is, in the writings of the Apostle Paul, he uses that metaphor over and over again of being a soldier or being in warfare, being in conflict. And we want to just discuss that a little bit here. In verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And I want to emphasize that right off here, the first thing, the thought of being strong in the Lord. How are you strong in the Lord? What does that mean? And in the power of his might. It kind of puts us in the position of the weak one and he the strong one. And so we can't successfully enter into this conflict. We can't expect to win in this conflict without the help of God. Then he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." He is wily. He's crafty. He has years of experience over us, as well as being a spiritual being. But he is no match for God. And so that's the emphasis this morning. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, we're living in a world that is full of wars and rumors of wars. There's a potential to pretty much annihilate the human race in a matter of minutes or hours with the might of the combined armies of the world today, and a lot of dark predictions and things like that going on. The war that's going on in Ukraine right now, according to what I've read, is claiming the lives of between 400 and 500 just military men every day. Soldiers are dying on the battlefield. That's not counting the civilian casualties that come out of this as well. And the death and destruction is hard to comprehend for us, and it's horrible to imagine what's going on there for those caught in that conflict and in other conflicts around the world. But what I want to draw our attention to here today is a spiritual conflict with stakes much higher than natural national boundaries. And we have an enemy that is more relentless and determined than any earthly king or head of state. You wonder, you know, why or when are they going to fold? When are they going to give up? When is this going to stop? When are they going to concede defeat? But we have an enemy who is much more determined than even these men who are at war in these countries, who are at war with each other. "And for him, no tactic is too evil and no deed too dastardly, as he wages war against the kingdom of God and against the saints of Jesus Christ." There's nothing, he won't stop at anything. It can be your grandpa, it can be your mother, it can be your dad, it can be your son or daughter, it can be your uncle or cousin, it doesn't matter. He will he will create casualties wherever he can and wherever he goes. And so the conflict is real, but the difference here is that victory is assured because we fight against a foe who has already been defeated and is powerless to rule our lives by force or coercion. Satan cannot rule your life or mine by force or coercion. He can threaten it. He can try to instill fear in our hearts. He can try to get us to turn and run, but he cannot force us to. He cannot force us to do anything. And that's the difference. The battles that we fight are largely between the flesh and the spirit, and that's what the scripture and what the Apostle Paul clearly brings out. And the outcome is largely determined by our own personal choices. So we have a choice in the matter, whether we are going to be on the side of victory or whether we're going to be defeated. Even though the battle may be fierce. Paul says it this way in his own personal testimony, his own personal struggle. He says, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And so when I feel myself getting tired, when I feel myself becoming weak, behind it all is the enemy trying to wear me down. Daniel talks about that. He's talking about a certain ruler there in prophecy that is going to wear down the saints. And that's what Satan is trying to do as well. He is trying to wear us down and make us tired, discourage us, and get us to the point where we say, well, what's the use to continue, I just as well give up. I can't do it anyway. Have you ever felt like that? Well, that's exactly where he would like to have us to be. Just as well give up, can't do it anyway. But we have many exceeding great and precious promises that we can claim as the children of God that apply. And so, in Revelation chapter 12, he talks about this conflict, and he calls Satan there the dragon that was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, if you keep the commandments of God and have a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a target on your back. That's what he is saying. He is making war against those who obey the commandments of Jesus Christ, the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ in their life. He is going to try to overthrow you. He is going to try to destroy you and to bring you to defeat. And so that's why we have the strong language we have in the Bible concerning our Christian walk. And it is compared to a warfare, which is a struggle and a battle for life or death. Again, in Revelation 12, here before verse 17, verse 10 and 11, he says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. And so, he's saying here, salvation and strength is come in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ, because the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. In other words, he's defeated. He does not have the power to force us to do anything. But what he can do is he can entice us. He can cause us to fear. He can cause us to tremble. He can cause us to become discouraged. And say, well, what's the use trying? I just as well give up. And we give in and give up and give in, and we commit a sin. And then what does he do? He says, aha, you did it again. Ha ha. That's, the accuser of our brethren. And that's what he does. He tempts you into sin. And then when you do it, he makes you feel worse than ever. It's not like, well, now You know, this is where I find fulfillment and joy and the purpose in life. No, we recognize that I've been defeated. I failed. I fell. And so the accuser of our brethren, he just sits back and mocks when we fallen into sin again. Says he accused them before our God day and night. But this is how they overcame him, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and their loved not their lives unto the death. And so is that my testimony? Maybe it would be easier sometimes if somebody did threaten us with our life and say, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? If you are, you're dead. That might be easier than some of the other things that we have to face as we take a stand and face the misunderstanding, the ridicule of the world, and so on. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And that, of course, is essential. Without the blood of the Lamb, without the cross of Jesus Christ, we would have no choice. But because of the cross, we do have a choice. And we do have a place to come to when we fail and when we fall. And we come back to the cross again and we repent and we ask forgiveness, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sin. That is part of it. The other is the word of our testimony. And that is, here is where I stand. Where do I stand? Where do I stand? How do I know where to stand? What to stand on? And so this is it. This is it right here. Our Bibles, the word of God. This is where we stand. And when we begin to pick and choose and to deviate and to use the word of God as a smorgasbord to pick out what I like and leave what I don't like, you know, then we're in dangerous ground. But the word of our testimony is as we stand on the word of God and we say, here's where I stand, and this is where I live and work and die. They loved not their lives unto the death. Regardless of the cost, I'm going to stand on the word of God. As we read here in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and so on. It's a spiritual warfare. Paul again emphasizes that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6, for he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. How do you revenge all disobedience? Some of this language is not so easy to understand. And yet I think what he is simply saying here is that victory is possible. We have victory over disobedience. We revenge all disobedience. And victory is possible in this spiritual conflict. He talks there about the strongholds. And what may be a stronghold in your life, it may be different in mine. All of us, I think, face these strongholds, whether it be attitudes, personal conflicts, whether it be lustful thoughts, whether it be covetousness, worldliness, my desire and my hankering after the things that the world has to offer. These may be strongholds for us that need to be pulled down, and these are pulled down not with artillery and machine guns, but with spiritual weapons that God has given us. And our most powerful weapon, of course, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this is what we use to overcome these strongholds. So We can ask ourselves, what is the stronghold in my life? How many have given up the fight or have considered it not worth the price? If we look around us and we look back, even from this congregation over the years, how many have fallen by the wayside? How many have made shipwreck of the faith? And how many have said it's not worth the fight? It's not worth the cost. It's not worth the price. And have laid down their armor and given in and given up. He talks about that in 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19. This charge I commit thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and conscience, and which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And so why is faith such an important aspect here? It's because by faith Moses chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt and the pleasures of sin for a season. And so it's faith that causes us to make the right choice and the right decision. We believe God. We believe that he rewards the faithful. And we are willing to sacrifice present comforts, pleasures, fleshly inclinations, and temptations. We're willing to give those up because we believe that the reward goes to the faithful, and we want to share in that reward. And it's an eternal reward. It's not just something temporal. And so, as I look out over the audience here this morning, you know, everyone looking back at me will be somewhere in eternity, and not the too far distant future. And that makes it very serious. And the same for me looking at you. I don't know how many more years the Lord has given me. I have no idea. But I know it can't be very long. And then eternity. And so, is it worth it to fight the good fight of faith and to stand where God would have us to stand on his word? The Hebrew writer said it this way. He says, for yet a little while, how long is a little while? We don't know, but it can't be very long. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Here again we have that word faith. The shield of faith, which quenches the fiery darts of the devil. That is a faith that says yes to God and no to the inclinations of the flesh, the impulses of the flesh, whatever they may be, lust of the eyes, lust, pride of life, and all of that. But if any man draw back, he says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And so, again, in the Hebrew writer, he says, don't give place to the devil. Do not give place to the devil. That's all one verse. And because when we do, we just give him staging ground to advance even further in our life. And so when we're tempted to say, well, only this once or just a little bit, not too much, you know, I can handle it. That's giving place to the devil, and it puts us in a disadvantage in this spiritual warfare. Don't give up the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that in Christ Jesus. How can you be strong in grace? Grace is a free gift. So how can you be strong in grace? If it's free, and it's abundant, we know that, because most of the places where, or many of the places in the writings of the Apostle Paul where he talks about grace, he talks about it in its abundance. And so how can you be strong in that? Well, I think the way to be strong in the grace is to avail ourselves of it. If we're going to fight, we need the grace of God. Remember what we said in the beginning. It's God who gives us strength for victory. And so his grace is there for us. But when we receive the grace of God in vain is when we turn our back or we give up or we get discouraged and we say, what's the use? I just as well give up. Can't do it anyway. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We're all chosen to be soldiers in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's not disappoint our captain who has given his life and who has won the victory for us, that we also might claim the promise of the Apostle Paul at the end of his life, where he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but also to all them that love his appearing. Shall we kneel to pray?